This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. We discussed a lot today. The quarterback the Eagles did not select. Of course, that would be Shedeur Sanders. I wanted Jalen Milroe, but I lost that out on Friday night when the Seahawks took him in the third round. Shedeur goes on Saturday. They trade over the Eagles to get him. A lot of people think the Eagles were going to make that pick. Can we hear, before we talk about Kyle McCord, just quickly, rap sheet on Saturday explaining that Browns trade? It sure sounded like the Browns thought the Eagles were going to take him.
Rich, there have been rumors all day that the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in Shedeur Sanders. Would be a perfect landing spot for him. A veteran quarterback room, a team with a really good backbone, really good culture. Well, the Cleveland Browns just traded over the Eagles. I wonder, obviously they have Dylan Gabriel yesterday. Did the Browns do this thinking the Eagles would take Shedeur? And just maybe, we'll see.
Well, I think they did, and I think the Eagles were going to take him there. Did you want him as he fell? 215-592-9494. Hugh, they did take a quarterback, though. His name was not Shedeur Sanders. The Eagles selected Kyle McCord at a
St. Joe's Prep, right?
St. Joe's Prep.
Yeah,
and
local kid.
Then Ohio State for 3 years before transferring to Syracuse last year. Hugh, before we hear from Sirianni on him, he put up some huge numbers last year. I'm looking at his stats right now. He led the NCAA in passing yards, 4,779. He led in yards per game. And I didn't realize this till now because, you know, when they do the Heisman Trophy ceremony, they just invite, what do they invite, three or four guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle McCord had the 10th most Heisman Trophy votes last year. That I didn't know until just a few minutes ago. So I think he's an interesting player that I think could develop into a backup kind of quarterback, right? They have Tanner McKee for 2 years. Would you be shocked if a year from now they like this kid and they ship McKee off for a draft pick and he's the new backup?
Maybe.
I would.
I mean, you know, listen. Being a backup quarterback in the NFL is not a bad job. Mm-hmm. You make a couple million dollars, get to hold a clipboard, and probably get 10 to 15 accrued seasons in NFL. It's not. And at some point, you might get an opportunity to start.
Well, and for the Eagles, as we know, it's been a very important position over the years where the backups come in and won a lot of games for them, including a Super Bowl at one point.
Yeah, and if Hugh gets to talk to him for 5 minutes, he'll end up being the Eagles' future.
With him.
I can't wait for the Players Lounge, Kyle McCord.
I feel attacked.
Well, you know who will feel attacked? Tanner McKee, when you come in here and you say, actually, the new future is Kyle McCord.
You just fall in love with everybody, don't
you?
Well, you sucker for love.
You did fall in love with Tanner McKee after you talked to him. All right, let's hear from Nick Sirianni yesterday. Eagles wrap up the draft press conference. I thought it was interesting how he framed why McCord is a good prospect.
You talked about the board sort of handling things, but you did add a quarterback, which is a little bit of a surprise to some people. What did you like about Kyle?
Yeah, you know, what you see with Kyle is just his mind works very fast out there on the out there on the football field. You know, he makes good, quick decisions with the football. Accurate passer. You know, led the country in passing yards this past season. You know, so what really stands out again is just how quickly he moves through progressions and how quickly his mind works. And really excited to work with him.
You know what I found interesting about the way he framed his attribute, Hugh? Look, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, right? They win a lot of games with him. But that's the one thing we always talk about Jalen needs to always do well.
To speed the game up.
Get the ball out
process
quickly.
Faster.
Right. And it seems like they like McCord. Now, I don't know physically if McCord is good enough, right? He's a 50.
He gets the ball. It sounds like he gets the ball out of his hands
quick. That's why they liked him, which tells me that that is the way they want this offense to function. And sometimes Jalen does it well. Sometimes Jalen holds on. Now, Jalen can run, so you know you have that aspect out where he knows he could use his legs.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I think this kid could come in here and be part of this thing. So they don't take Shadur, but they take Kyle McCord out of Syracuse. You clipping that spot? Where
I thought the most relevant thing he said in that entire interview
was,
what you see with Kyle is just his mind works very fast.
Yeah, can we dump that? Get it out. Dump it. He's going to use that on us all the time.
Mind works very fast.
Because it sounds like...
Yeah. Mind works very fast. Mm-hmm.
Kyle McCord, not Kyle Quinn. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Joe in Jersey's up. What's up, Joe?
It's Black Panther. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Joe. Man? What's going on?
Good. So, you know, Hugh, I just want to bring something into focus here. It's important that you had a conversation and you went back and forth with the other guy.
Yes.
He was looking at it through the eyes of a non-black person. You're looking at it through the eyes of a black person. So when a non-black person hears racist, the first thing that comes to their mind is, what do you mean racist? You know, we drafted all these black quarterbacks. We drafted Williams, Young, Daniels. We have a black Super Bowl quarterback. But what you're saying is, and I don't think this message is getting through, if it was a white quarterback that acted the way Shenor Sanders is, they probably would have held their nose and probably drafted him in the second or third round. Am I correct?
Yeah, something to that. That's what, like, and unfortunately, Joe, we only have so many examples of a quarterback that's similar to a Shenor Sanders. Baker Mayfield, who happens to be white, and Johnny Manziel. And I think that, here's the thing. We've gotten too sensitive about having these conversations, and everybody gets all up in their feels because they feel like you're trying to, I don't know, incite hate or whatever. That's not it. It's just that's the way that I see it because I see all these other examples, and it's not the same thing. It doesn't look the same to me.
Let me throw one more in before you make your point, Joe. Hugh, you were trying to think of quarterbacks that had some cockiness to them, right?
Yeah.
Johnny and Baker. I don't know if he was ever as vocal about it, but I always felt like Cam, but when he was young.
Cam was cocky.
Cam had a cocky, but Cam was physically a monster. So no matter what anyone thought of him, he was going to be the best
The year he was dabbing on everybody, he brought people the wrong way.
Yeah, but he was a great talent.
He played well.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll take Tanner McGee over him. I love this kid. I think, do people watch the games here? Like, the people that call up, do they watch the games? This kid, I think this kid is such a sleeper that I think Howie knows what he has. I really do. And, Hugh, I want to make a little funny comment, because, we got a little bit of this thing in here.
Yep.
I'm going to make a comment as a white man.
Yes.
A white man should never wear a green or purple suit. You look like an absolute fool.
Are you talking about the Campbell kid out of LSU?
He wore green and purple suit.
A white guy cannot listen. Tell you something. You look at this guy.
Saw Will Campbell, right? That's what you're talking about.
Will Campbell looked like the Joker. You can't wear a white. Listen, you could take Seth Joyner. You could take Shannon Sharp. You put him in a purple suit, a green suit, any color suit. They're gonna look great. You put a white guy in a purple suit, you look like a clown. You put a green suit, you look like out of like a Marvel comic.
He did have a Joker villain look to him. I kind of see it.
Well, I think it could have been whoever, they probably could have been Taylor. He has drip, though. Like, looking at, this ain't his first rodeo.
Oh, he dresses?
He dresses provocatively. He got drip.
Okay.
So, guys, the reason why I called today, I listen to the show all the time. We drafted, I got to look at the draft, right? And I love the two tackles they drafted in the six rounds. Hinton, his father was a phenomenal football player, and Cameron Williams. I think Stoutland is going to mold these guys. Two of these guys are going to come out and be a really good player. I wouldn't be surprised if they become the next starting right tackle or swing tackle. I think those were great picks in the sixth round. No one's going to talk about it. They're going to talk about the guy in the first round, the second round, the fourth round. But I think those were great picks.
Well, the Cameron Williams one really caught my attention, Joe. He is 6'5", 330 He's a really good athlete. I don't know why he fell that far, but he's only 21 years old. I think he's one. Joe, good phone call. Stoutland can turn him into something. I mean, Hugh, I always think when they draft offensive linemen late, I always think there's a chance with this organization. They turned Jason Kelce, a sixth-round pick, and it helped him become a Hall of Famer. And Jordan Mailata was a seventh-round pick. I mean, Hugh, do I know if either of these sixth-round offensive linemen are going to be anything? No, but there's a chance one of them hits. I mean, Stoutland is that good at turning these guys into players.
Yeah, and I think that they're counting on that. You know, with the way that they coach, the good coaching staff that they've amassed, they're looking at some of these young draft picks, these late-round draft picks. They're looking at them to be contributors to this team this year.
I heard Howie yesterday saying they look for traits, right? It's not like how good they were in college. Like, do they have something in their bodies that Stoutland can mold? And obviously, with the at least with the Williams kid, physically, 6'5", 330, there's something there physically. Macho in Kensington. What's up, Macho?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
Macho. What's up?
Good, man. Another day, all right? So I just want to comment on the Shador thing. Mm-hmm. I just think he dropped because he's kind of trash. I don't think he really, in college, he, you know, 9-4, but he only beat BYU, 17th ranked. I don't think his competition was all that good. And then just probably got that stink that even though his dad played for Dallas, I just think he got that stink from Dallas, too. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that star, that spotlight on him.
Is that so what it is? Just,
well, I mean, here, yeah. Macho, but I don't know if people around the country feel the same way. You think people care that his dad played for the Cowboys?
No, I just think that it's just the spotlight, the all the attention.
Well, I mean,
thing and all that.
Yeah, I think this. If he was a better prospect physically, I think he would have been drafted higher. I think that, and then you add in everything else, and whether it be this bothered people, the tape, or the dad, whatever it was, then he fell down the board.
How about the combine though? He didn't
participate.
Yeah, but I actually think that's a small part of it. Because a lot of quarterbacks don't throw at the combine.
If I had my time to shine, I'm a shine.
But here's the thing, Macho, and I hear what you're saying, and that might be true.
Yeah.
And this is what goes on with this situation, is that even when you say he played lesser competition, Macho, I went to a D2 school. I went to a Division II school, and my competition was nowhere near some of the competition that other guys played against. I still got drafted in the first round.
Listen
to what I'm saying, though. I'm not saying you're wrong in your take, but there are many examples of guys that have played in lesser conferences. Hell, Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State, and he still got drafted high because it doesn't matter. If you can play, you can play. And that's the thing that people can't wrap their mind around, because he had a high round grade, and he was still, even when he went to fifth round, he was still projected as the best player on the big board. So that's where, for a lot of people, it just doesn't add up. Now, you might be right, because that's the argument that people have been giving. Oh, he was trash. He still had a high enough grade to be drafted higher than he went. So now you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the reason? And it could be a number of different things. It just doesn't have to be one thing.
Right.
It could be a number of different things.
It probably was. And Macho, can I give you an example? I think the issue here isn't that he got drafted in the fifth round. It's that some people thought he would be the first
higher
pick.
Higher than that, yeah.
Like, so some people brought up his stats today. I'm going to give you another quarterback. This was 7 years ago. Hugh, are ready for this comparison? I'm going to give you size and numbers, and I'm going to tell you they both played in a conference where there wasn't much defense played, okay? Maybe they weren't playing the greatest competition. Quarterback one was 6'2", 216 pounds, okay? Shador is quarterback two in my example. He's 6'1", 215, same size. They're basically the same size. The first quarterback 7 years ago had a 70% completion, 4,779 yards, 38 touchdowns, and finished fifth in the Heisman. Had a heck of a final season in college football. Shador, 74% completion, 4,134 yards, 37 touchdowns. So they both lit up a conference that wasn't that great. They're both the same size. They both had great last years of college. The guy I'm talking about is Gardner Minshew. Like, that's when I look at Shador, I think he's a Gardner Minshew type of player. Gardner Minshew could play in the NFL, right? Like, no one doubts that. I think Gardner Minshew might have a 15-year career. The difference is no one said before that draft Gardner Minshew was going to be a first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a story. But I kind of see why he wasn't a high pick, just like Gardner Minshew wasn't a high pick. The question is, why did he go from being, people thought, the second or third pick in the draft to the fifth round?
See, and that's the thing that a lot of people have issues with. And like I've been saying all day, it could be, it's not just one thing. And I know people are focusing on one thing or another thing. It's just not one. It was everything. It is a little bit of everything when you look at it. He was cocky. I am not denying that. When he sat there and he talked about, I'm the ultimate cheat code and things of that nature, that might have rubbed people the wrong way. But what I know about the quarterback position and how many teams covet that position and are looking for one, still should have got drafted on the first or the second day. Should have got drafted.
Let's go to Ken in Cinnaminson up on WIP. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's going
on, Ken?
Man?
The Browns stole your tight end.
Yeah, they did, but obviously the Eagles weren't looking for a tight end. So, again, it helps to be in the room to make predictions about what the team's going to do. But he's going to be a good player. And, you know, one name I haven't heard mentioned from the Eagles draft, Drew Kendall, the center they drafted out of Boston College in the fifth round. I watched that guy's tape, and he screams guard to me. So this kid could wind up being the right guard. He physically, athletically, he looks to me like a guard, and he's mean. So just keep that guy on your radar screen, because I know we're talking about the tackles.
Yep.
You know, obviously Hinton's got some pedigree from his father, and I think Williams just didn't start enough games. So there's just, you know, he's just raw. He's just a big physical raw kid who they can mold. But you know, on this Shedeur Sanders thing, Hugh, I can certainly understand why you and other people might feel the way you feel about this. The NFL is not necessarily blameless over the years in terms of this issue. I mean, just look around the league at the paucity of black coaches, black head coaches. And, you know, again, there was, what, six or seven head coaching vacancies in the NFL this past offseason, and you know, the vast majority of them were filled by white guys. You know, so it's understandable why somebody would feel that way. So it's wrong to just invalidate it and say that can't possibly be it. But, you know, you made a comp earlier in the show to Brock Purdy. And I will tell you, and I watch a ton of college football, so I'm not coming at this from complete ignorance. When you put the tape on of Brock Purdy at Iowa State, I see, you know, Shedeur Sanders is very similar to him in a lot of ways, from the physical traits and the attributes and the way they play the game. And Brock Purdy was exceptionally productive at Iowa State. And knowing what you know now, and you go back and put the tape on from Brock Purdy at Iowa State, you know, you could question, well, how did this guy wind up being Mr. Irrelevant with other quarterbacks taken ahead of him? I don't think there's any question that part of Shedeur Sanders' kind of journey here is the fact that he's Deion Sanders' kid. So, you know, Deion Sanders put that program in Colorado back on the map, and obviously he did it with some really talented guys, and also, you know, it benefited Shedeur Sanders. If he wasn't Shedeur Sanders, if he was some other nondescript quarterback who you didn't know who he was because you didn't know who his father was, and he was just another college quarterback in Big 12 who had some respectable numbers and was productive, I don't think it would be as shocking that he didn't go until the fifth round. The other thing to keep in mind is that there's only so many teams that are even looking for quarterbacks in the draft, right? And you know, you've got a where he's ranked amongst the quarterbacks in this draft is relative to just the quarterbacks in this draft. So when you look at Cam Ward, who probably would have been the fifth quarterback drafted last year, and you look at the quarterbacks that are coming out next year, and it's projected to be a really strong quarterback class next year, and you don't know until it plays out, but right now it's projected to be a really strong quarterback class next year. You know, there is a draft next year, and if there's only two teams that are looking to draft what they think is a starting franchise quarterback this year, and there might have been three, but there's not a lot, then once you get past the first couple of rounds, it's really just a matter of, you know, what's he going to add to your team? And, you know, if Kyle McCord, I thought Kyle McCord was a better quarterback than Shador Sanders, just watching them play this year. You know, if you would ask me during the season, watching a college football season, I would tell you Kyle McCord's a better player than him. I would tell you Will Howard's a better player than him. Both of them went after Shador Sanders. But, you know, Kyle McCord, knowing that he's coming in, you know, under the best of circumstances to wind up maybe as the third quarterback, maybe he's a camp arm, maybe he's a practice squad guy. You know, when you're down in that territory, if you're talking to a guy who is telling you I'm not about doing that, you know, it makes it really hard to make real hard to bring that guy into your building. And I don't think he's a bad kid. I really don't. And I would not want a quarterback who doesn't feel highly confident in his own skills. But if it's not matching what you see for him, you know, it's understandable why a lot of teams would just say, well, we'll just wait till next year. There's going to be a good quarterback draft yep. next year, and we'll just wait till next year. So there's so much that goes into it. But like I said at the outset, it's understandable why some people might feel the way they feel, because the NFL has a history here, and it's not great.
Yeah, and you're right, Ken, and I appreciate the back and forth, man, because – like I was telling my daughter and her friends, because people were calling me, I was like, it's a bunch of different things. It's just not one thing. And you have, like, you can't say it's not this or that when you see certain patterns, but you can't say that was the only thing. And that's the only message that I've been trying to relay. So it for me is this. Don't try to, not you, Ken, but don't try to tell people that know what it looks like to them what it isn't. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do. You're trying to tell people that knows what it is when somebody crosses the street or when somebody clutches their purse, they feel some kind of way. You're trying to tell me something that I feel in my spirit that I've been groomed to feel this way my whole entire life. So for you to sit there and tell me it's not this or that and then give me the reasoning because they drafted a black quarterback, that dog does not hunt for me.
Yeah, good call, Ken. There's a reason why this story resonated with so many people.
Yes.
And Ken made a lot of good points in there. One of them was, part of the reason it's such a big story is his name, right? If his name, if we didn't know who he was, right? It was just the same player, same stats, same height, weight, combine, all this stuff. It's not the biggest story in sports this weekend. It's who he is. I mean, that we all have an opinion on Deion for the last 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe, a lot of people maybe didn't like him as a player because he was so great and he killed the Eagles. Obviously, you respect his talent. He's one of the greatest football players we've ever seen, whatever. But that's part of it. There's a reason why so many people have a strong opinion on a Colorado quarterback. It's just who he
because
is.
Because they see – everybody, however you feel, if you feel he wasn't that good a player, you're probably right. If you feel he was a little bit arrogant, you're probably right. If you feel that there has some racial undertones to this, you're probably right. That's the thing. It's not just one thing. It's a bunch of different things
that
happen.
Well, there's also 32 teams. So each team yes. may have had a different reason.
Yes, but and we're seeing it, and everybody's talking about a travesty and all this other stuff. It's not just one thing. It's a bunch of things.
Well, now the cool part is he gets to go and write the story the way he wants. Now, you made a point earlier, and it's totally
true.
It
might be kind of tough, though.
Yeah, he's a fifth rounder on the Browns.
With about 30 other quarterbacks in the room, dog.
But hey, if he's that good, he'll play.
He'll figure it out.
I mean, it's not like the other quarterbacks are good.
I tell you what, though, and this is the first thing that you probably need to do. If the narrative is out there that you're not coachable or you are not a student of the game, you probably need to get that playbook and be in it. And when you need to overcorrect in this. If this is what you want, you need to overcorrect. You need to be, when questions are asked in the quarterback room, you need to be raising your hand. You need to change the narrative because you have the power now to change the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, if we go to every story of a late round quarterback that makes it, they all have a common denominator. They're the hardest worker.
You could change the narrative.
Yeah. Now. Like how Russell did it or Brady or whatever, whoever you want to pick. I mean, there's a reason for it. 215-592-9494. All right. Your phone calls on all of this. The Eagles draft, what they did, what they didn't do. Did you want Shador as he fell down the board? We'll get to what I hear is a very mild and calm.
Very, very tame.
Rational, yep. You people,
yeah,
today?
Yeah, nobody in there that needs to take a deep breath.
Okay. No, I can imagine. But listen, tell them. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. I'm going to sleep good.
Oh, well,
at
they
night.
Have, yeah.
And they can, y'all can be in your feelings all you want.
All right.
Well, a lot of feelings. A lot of
That's
feelings.
What happened today. All right. Plus, we need Hugh's take on something that came out over the weekend. This actually might have been.
For this all day.
This might have been the wildest NFL television moment of the weekend. It wasn't Mel Kiper in tears. It wasn't Shadur Sanders in the fifth round. It was whatever the heck is going on with Bill Belichick and that young lady friend of his. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.